this as the plan of God unfolds. Christian, won't you help the helpless? Won't you feed their hungry souls? Brother, sister, time is short now. Serve in love and live by faith. For the things of earth are passing. This could be the day. This could be the day that the Lord returns in glory. This could be the day.
Still true today, or have we wandered farther?
We
Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that, and we're grateful that they're here, and they'll be with us all day. They'll be here tonight in the evening service and singing once again. Let's take the Word of God this morning, and we will go to the Old Testament, to the book of Joshua, chapter number 24. Joshua chapter 24, in just a moment, we'll begin at verse number 1, and we will read down to verse number 7, then we'll pick back up in verse number 13. Today is a special day, really, for all of us men. And today, I want to speak to you, as I did on Mother's Day, I talked about three words for every woman. And today I want to do the same. I want to talk about three words for every man. I believe there are three things that we find in the book of Joshua chapter 24 that I believe should encompass the life of not just every father here, but of every man. And today is really a call for men to rise up and to be the men that God has created us and called us to be. I'm grateful for the privilege to be a father. I thank the Lord for my children, and my children are getting older. My wife and I are not getting older. We're staying the same. But we are very thankful for the Lord's blessing. I met my wife at college, at Crown College, and next month we'll celebrate 24 years of being married. We're very thankful for that. And I'm thankful. I remember the day that, of course, the doctors had told my wife and I that we would not be able to have children. And we prayed, and I fasted, sought the Lord, and God heard our prayer, and we have three wonderful children. We thank the Lord for each of them, and we just want them to follow Christ, and we're thankful that they are at this time. And I remember the day when the doctor said that my wife is expecting. I remember how wonderful that thought was, and the day when we brought our little baby girl home from the hospital, and our lives were changed forever. What a blessing it is to be a father. It's a blessing to be able to have that influence. I think all of us would agree this morning that America is in trouble. America is in a difficult time. I love America. I thank the Lord to be in America. And I believe we still have the greatest country on the face of the earth. And I thank God for it. But then I believe that most of us would say that many of the problems, not all of the problems, but many of the problems are related to the problems with fathers in the homes. In fact, I believe that we would understand that one of the major reasons our country is in the shape it is in today is because of fathers who are irresponsible in what God has given them to do. You know, the Bible mentions mothers some 300 and something times, but over 1,300 times in God's Word do we find the mention of a father. The father's influence in a home, you cannot replace that influence. In fact, I read some statistics just recently in 2022 that today there are 19.7 million children in America that are living without a father in the home. That's a staggering statement. That is one in four children that do not have a father in their home. In fact, 90% of all homeless and runaway children today are from fatherless homes. 75% of all adults in chemical abuse centers are from fatherless homes. And 85% of all youth in prison come from fatherless homes. Do you understand the significance of a father in the home? That he is to lead his home and he is to walk with God. And by the way, as I begin this message today, men, I pray that we understand that the beginning of the right kind of home must begin with a father who knows Jesus Christ as his Savior. That is the very beginning point. When the dad knows God and when he loves the Lord and he is walking with God, it affects everybody in the home. We're living a day and time in which people want to tear down the leadership of a man in the home. But I want you to know something. It is a God-given leadership of the father to lead the home. Today, as we come to Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. In fact, I named one of my sons Joshua. Because when I think of Joshua, he was a man's man, but Joshua was a leader. And you know the story in Joshua chapter 24, but I want to read it together. Joshua 24 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor. and they served other gods. And I took your father, Abraham, from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And you came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long time, a long season. Let's go now to verse number 13, if you would please. The Bible picks up and says, and I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not do you eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It's very interesting in chapter 24 that we find often that Joshua mentions fathers. He says, your fathers served the gods of the Amorites, and they served those gods. But Joshua said, now it is time for you to choose whom you will serve. This morning, three words for every man. We live in a nation today of fatherless homes. In fact, someone once said that we can speak of our founding fathers, but today we almost have to speak of fathers that cannot be found. The fathers are absent from homes, and even if the father is in the home, he can still be absent from investing in his children. He can be a passive father today. But men today, all of us men, whether you are a father or not, it is time for us to rise up to the challenge of our day. It is time for us to lay aside the gods of our culture, like Joshua was compelling these men to lay aside the gods of the Amorites. And it is time for us to rise and to say, by God's grace, I will lead my home and I will be the man that God has called me to be. In fact, fathers are setting a path for the next generation. And oftentimes the path is not clear and the path is not the right path. And in fact, I heard the story of a father and his son. They were climbing up a mountain. In fact, they came to a place where the climbing was very difficult and even dangerous. And the boy was right behind his father, and he had stopped to consider the right path to take for their safety. And the boy stopped and he said, Daddy, choose the good path because I'm right behind you. You know something, men? Can I tell you something? If you have children, they're right behind you. They are watching you. They are observing you. They are listening to you. Listen, it's more than just what we say. It is our lives that are the greatest example and the greatest sermon that we are preaching to our children. I am thankful in Joshua 24 that Joshua made a declaration to serve the Lord regardless of what was happening in the culture around him. And by the way, no one has a greater influence, men, in your home than the father. God designed it that way. And it is God's plan that the father will follow Jesus Christ. By the way, as goes the home, we understand so goes the church. And as goes the church, so goes the nation. May God help us today. Three words for every man. Number one, the first word that I believe we find in the book of Joshua is the word leadership. Leadership. Now, today, leadership is always challenged. Always challenged. Leadership is always criticized. But men must be the leaders of their home. I thank God for the ladies of our church, and I thank God for the virtuous women, and we thank God for them. But let me be clear, according to the Bible and according to God's divine design and His order, a woman is not to lead her home. A man is to lead the home. That is God's design. It is God's plan for the home. Now, men, understand this. to lead your home is not to walk in the door and kick the door in and say, I'm in charge in this home. If you have to do that, you're not in charge of the home. But a man is to lead. In fact, God has called the father to be the leader of the home. I find Joshua, here's what he said. He said, I don't know what you are going to do. You may do just like your fathers who serve the gods of the Amorites and the gods in whose land you dwell. But he said, but as for me, he was leading first his own life. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. You see, he was a leader. By the way, leadership always begins with your personal walk with Jesus Christ. I love it that Joshua said, as for me, he began with himself. He began with himself and how he was leading. Man, you cannot lead your home if in the private, secret place of your heart, you are not abiding in Christ and you're allowing unconfessed sin into your life. You are not the leader of your home. You see, God has called us as men, and may God rise up a generation of strong Christian men who will lead their homes according to Bible principles. By the way, some men might say, well, I let the wife take care of taking the kids to church, and I let the wife take care of the Bible reading. I let her take care of the home. I'm going to tell you, sis, if you have that attitude, you are not leading as God has designed for you to lead. It should be the dad that says, we are going to church. It should be the dad to say, we are going to pray together as a family. It should be the dad that says, we're not going to watch that. It should be the dad that says, we're not going to go to those places. It should be the dad that leads in the home. Now, by the way, the only way, men, that we can lead our homes is that we are following Jesus Christ. That enables us to be the leaders that God has called us to be. By the way, children should know where daddy stands on the issues of life. And men, let us have Bible-based convictions, not convictions that ebb and flow with our society and culture today. But let us have Bible-based convictions and that we know what we believe. Our children, our wives, men should know that we are leading and that they know where we stand and that we love them and that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Leadership. Can I ask you a question, this man? Are you a leader? You see, it is easy to be passive today. In fact, let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. And I believe today, one of the greatest curse on many homes and many Christian homes today is where men are passive in their leadership. Now, by the way, men, there's a price for leadership. There is a sacrifice to be paid to be a leader. Leaders have to often be alone. But they often have to stand alone. I'm thankful for men like Paul who, he said, no man stood with him. But I'm thankful he was a leader. I'm thankful for Joshua who said in Joshua 24, I don't care what anybody else does and I don't care if anybody else is going to follow me and my family. But as for me and my house, the circle of influence that God has given to me, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That just didn't mean that they were going to name the name of Christ. It meant in every area of their life, they were going to follow Jesus Christ. You see, today we deal with often passive fathers. We come to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. I find a passive man who was a preacher. He was the prophet named Eli. Can I tell you what Eli was? He was a passive father. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and let us look in verse number 12. The Bible says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. You know, it's amazing that very statement. Eli, who served the Lord, who his job was to lead the nation to follow the Lord, his own boys did not even know the Lord. They were sons of Belial. They were wicked. Verse number 13, and the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Now I want to read on, but I want you to think about this. People would come to the temple, and there they were commanded by God to offer these sacrifices. And Eli's sons were so wicked, they were so godless, men of Belial, that they were very selfish. And they said, hey, give us the meat now. We want it now. And the people abhorred the offering of the Lord. You know what? People didn't want to go to the temple because of the passive father in the way he dealt with his sons. We read on, and I love that the Bible includes verse number 18, and Samuel, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thy seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went into their own home. By the way, men, it is important for us to understand that all of our children are lent to us from God. Amen. They're not ours, really. We love and care for them, but we are to teach them and train them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But they're on loan to us from God. We read on in verse 21, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Can I tell you something about passive men? And I want to quickly give you this as we talk about leadership. Passive men fail to introduce their children to God. Here is Eli, a preacher, a priest, a prophet, a man who was to know God and walk with God. And yet his own boys did not know the Lord. Now, men, we know that all children have their own personal accountability to Christ. But it should be in the early days of our children's lives that they hear of Jesus Christ. We introduce them to Jesus, that they know Him as their Savior. Something else about passive men. Passive men disregard the seriousness of their children's sins. You know, today it is amazing to me. We live in a victim culture today, do we not? We have a Christian school here and we are thankful for it. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of the most difficult issues we've had is when we've had to deal with children, but the parents don't want their children to be dealt with. Sometimes parents just want their children to be happy, and that's all they're concerned about. But they need discipline. They need instruction. And men, we should be concerned about the seriousness of our children's sin. We should help them to have victory over sin habits in their life. We should work with them and pray with them. It is us as fathers, as men, to take the leadership in that area. By the way, in verse 17 says, the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord. And Eli just heard about the sin. In fact, he did not reprove his sons. He honored his sons above God. We see that others had told Eli of the sins of his sons, but he disregarded it. In fact, when Eli gave this verbal warning, he failed to confront. He failed to deal with the problem. He failed to remove his sons from the office of where they were because Eli was passive. Thirdly, we find that passive men honor their wives and children above God. Now, please hear me out and don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Men, we are to love our wives and we are commanded to love and care for our families. But when you put your children above God and His Word, when you put your wife above God and His Word and the commandments of God and His Word, I'm going to tell you something, we are passive. As a man, we must lead. I'm thankful to grow up in a home where my daddy was the leader of the home. You know something, I knew that if I got in trouble with mom, I got in worse trouble with daddy. I'm going to tell you that right now. And the worst thing my mom could tell me was, son, you wait till your daddy gets home, you know? That wasn't good news. That was a good time to run away from home right then, you know? Because, you know, my dad led our home. Now, folks, I understand this morning, when I think about fathers, I am not a perfect father. There have been many times I've had to go to my children and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I responded in anger. I didn't handle that situation right. But men, can I tell you something? Our children don't expect us to be perfect, but they do expect us to be consistent. And you know something? They know that daddies are growing and learning. I'm thankful for my dad. I love my dad. I called him this morning early to wish him Happy Father's Day. I was my dad's only son. We did a lot together. I had two sisters and tried to stay away from him as much as possible. It was safer that way. But, you know, I grew up in a home and I was the middle child. I'm still trying to work through all that, having two sisters like that. But it's not affected me too. I'm kidding. All right. But when I think about my father, we enjoyed spending time together. You know, I remember my dad and I used to go squirrel hunting every Thanksgiving. In about 12 years' time, we killed one squirrel. I want you to just know that right now. Now, I won't talk about the cats, or I won't deal with that. But anyway, I'm kidding. But you know what? It wasn't the squirrel hunting. It was time with Dad. I remember we'd stop early in the morning. We'd go to Weigel's. Man, praise God for Weigel's, you know. We'd go there and get some chocolate milk and some donuts. And I just loved spending time with my dad, talking with him and laughing together. And we went out in that woods and, man, we shot anything that moved, you know. If it was a bird, if it was a piece of bark falling from the tree, we destroyed it, you know. Man, I just loved being with my dad and my dad's influence in my life. I knew my dad wasn't perfect, but I knew my dad was a man of God and my dad followed the Lord. But you know something? My dad dealt with me with things in my life and I'm thankful for it because I needed his leadership in the home. Passive men are destroying Christian homes today. Men take the leadership. Now, we don't take the leadership with a dictatorial spirit. We do it in love. We do it in grace. We do it in kindness. We do it in consistency and the right example. Today, we have many men that are not fulfilling their divinely ordained responsibility to be the leader of their homes. In fact, the Bible commands men, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. But it says to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You know, if you study that phrase there where we are not to provoke our children to wrath, it is dealing with that we are to be so loving and caring and consistent that we do not bring them to wrath. By the way, do you know that I believe that much of the rage in our society today stems back to fathers who have provoked their children to anger? By the way, you know that fathers can provoke their children to anger by their anger. Do you know something, men? If you deal in anger with your children in discipline, you are doing more harm to them than what you could ever imagine. That is not a leader to deal with anger. To be angry, to yell, to scream. You accomplish nothing by that. All you do is breed hurts and wounds in the lives of your children. When a father is abusive, whether it's verbally or physically abusive, he is provoking his children to wrath. And when a father is absent, it provokes his children to anger. I'm thankful for the Bible club that God has given us at Mechanicsburg Middle School. And I'll tell you, it's just amazing what the Lord has done there. He allows us to go in during lunchtime and hold a Bible club. And this year, I think we averaged 65 kids every single Friday that God gave us. But I deal with bitterness often in that club. You know why? Because a lot of children are bitter today. I'd have kids come up to me and say, Pastor Samples, pray for me. I'm dealing with the bitterness of my father because of his anger. Because of his hypocrisy in the home. Because of things that he expects the kids to do that he won't even do. And the things that the fathers create. Oh, listen, the Bible talks about that the glory of children are their fathers. And many children today do not have glory because their dads are not men of God. Now, by the way, let me say this. I'm thankful for the men of this church. I'm thankful for the strong men of this church. Men who are leaders and men who take a stand and you bring your families to church and you lead your home and you lead your home in the path of righteousness. But God has called all of us to be men of leaders. By the way, men, may God help us today to be consistent. You know, consistency in a dad brings security to the heart of a child. I remember growing up, there was a security that I knew that my dad loved my mother. His wife. I loved it. Now, I'd say things like, hey, look, children are present here. Please don't kiss, all right, in the home. But you know what? Deep down inside, I loved it. Because I knew Dad and Mom loved one another. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Parents, if you argue in front of your children, you are hurting your children. You are bringing them to the point of anger. Because what you are doing, you are destroying that sense of consistency and security in the life of your child. Oh, may God help us as men that we lead our homes. Leadership goes against the very grain of our society and our culture today. But as men of God who know God and walk with God and spend time in prayer and spend time in His Word, we are leading our homes to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll tell you this, some of the greatest times that we have as a family is times where I can sit down with our family and we can read the Bible and pray together. Times that we can follow the Lord Jesus Christ as a family together. God has called us to leadership. The second word that I want us to give us as men is loyalty. Now, you know what I find back in Joshua chapter 24? Would you turn back there in the Word of God? Joshua chapter 24. Joshua was a man of loyalty. In fact, Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" In fact, the Bible says, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." Men, I'm going to ask you something. Are you loyal? You say, what should I be loyal to? Well, loyalty is first to Jesus Christ. That I'm a follower of Him. Joshua said, as for me, I'm beginning with myself. I am going to know God. I am going to follow the Lord. I am choosing to serve the Lord. As for me and then my house. God's given me this influence, and God has given me my wife, and God has given me my children, and we will serve the Lord. But Joshua was a man of loyalty. Are you loyal to the Lord? Men, are you loyal to your wife? That means that you are loyal to her. You love her. You have eyes only for her. You have thoughts only for her. You are loyal to her. I am grateful that my mom and dad have been married and now for over 50 years. I thank God for that. You know something, I'm married now and in my 40s, but I'm going to tell you something. It does much for me to know that my mom and dad are still together. And they love one another and they are loyal to one another. I want my children to have the same, that they know daddy's loyal to mother. And that I'm loyal to the Lord and that I'm loyal to them, that I'm loyal. By the way, loyal in the matter of leadership and loyal in the matter of our words. Men, I'll tell you something. You go home and you criticize your kids' teachers and your kids' pastor, you are doing more damage than what you could ever imagine. You are speaking disloyalty to them. You are setting an example for them. They're going to follow in that step. May God help us as men that we are loyal. Notice here in Joshua chapter 24, I love what he said here. Go back if you would please in verse number 14. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth." Don't you love that? He said truth. And he said, "Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve ye the Lord." Can I tell you what a man who is loyal? He is a man of integrity. He has nothing to hide. He has nothing to guard. He knows that before God, he is right. By the way, man, I believe there will be times in all of our lives that we will have opportunities to prove our integrity, to prove our loyalty, our honesty. I believe there will be crisis in our life where God will give us opportunities in the lives and eyes of our children to prove what Jesus Christ means to us. You get mad at the Lord and you get mad at the preacher and you get mad at the church and you get mad at things that you speak things. I'm going to tell you something. You have ruined that opportunity to show before your children your loyalty. Reminds me of the story of a farmer. We have lots of farmers in our church. But the farmer and his son, they had a great crop, a great harvest that was going to be that year. Just about a week before harvest was to take place, an unforeseen storm and hail came and destroyed the crop. It was going to be the best crop he had ever had, the best harvest. It was going to pay off all the debts. It was going to help his family for the next year. The man and his son walked out to the very edge of that field and looked out. It was a total loss. And you know what? In that moment, that boy expected his father to have words of cursing and words of anger and words of despair. But instead, his dad began to softly sing, Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Years later, that grown boy gave a testimony one time that the greatest sermon he ever heard was on that day. You know what? That did so much for that boy to know that even in the crisis of life, his daddy was going to follow Jesus Christ. Men, be loyal to the Lord, loyal to your wife, loyal to your children, loyal to your job, and loyal to your church. In fact, Proverbs 29:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I don't know if you've ever had any of those things, but they're very painful and they hurt. Folks, may God help us as men that we are men of leaders and men that are loyal. By the way, men, if you have habits in your life that you don't want your children to have, then ask God to give you victory over those habits. My dad tells me the story that his own father, with a cigarette in his hand, said, boy, if I ever catch you smoking, I'm going to beat you to the inch of your life. Well, you know what my dad began to do when he got old enough to do it? He began to smoke because he followed his father. Men, it is a hypocritical thing to tell your children not to do something that you are doing. And if you want them to have victory, then you be a man of loyalty. You be a man of integrity. You be a man of character. By the way, as I read to you earlier, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Something happens to the glory of children when they see their fathers doing something, looking at something, being a part of something that they know is wrong. It disturbs their glory. By the way, men, the greatest gift that you can give your children is a great example. In fact, you know, back in the early 1950s, it was widely accepted that it was impossible for a human being to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Nobody had done it until the man by the name of Roger Bannister from England. In fact, Roger Bannister, he completed a 1 mile race in 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds in May of 1954. You say, well, what difference did that make? He was the first man to do it, but he was not the last, because within the next few months, more than a dozen other men succeeding in breaking the four-minute mile. You know why? Because if he did it, then surely I can do it. You know what, men? We ought to be that example to our children, that if daddy can walk with God, so can I walk with God. If daddy can go against the grain of this culture and the grain of this society, then so can I. If daddy can be faithful to mama, so can I. If daddy can be a man of God, so can I. Let's see, that is where men are loyal to God. They know that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The third word that I want to give you, we looked at leadership. Oh, how important that is. We looked at the word loyalty and we looked at the word love. Love. Men, God's called us to love. I want you to take your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, because I think this is important. My dad grew up in a home, even though it was in the South, grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, as I did. My dad grew up in a home where he saw no affection whatsoever. He said the only time he saw his dad ever kiss his mom was she was getting ready to have surgery and he thought she was going to die, so he kissed her. That was kind of a good time to kiss her, I guess, all right? He said he never saw any affection in his home. He said his dad never really hugged him. No affection whatsoever, no hugging. Even to this day, I think my dad would even admit, and he has said it from the pulpit before, that he has a hard time sometimes when people want to show affection just because he didn't grow up that way. But my dad worked at it. He worked at it. And men, this is something we as men must work at, to show love in our home. By the way, I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can be so concerned about what our children are doing that is wrong that we forget to give affirmation when they do the right things. Right. Affirmation is so important. You know, I remember when my dad got on to me and I deserved every one of them, and the times he didn't get on to me and I deserved those, you know. But can I tell you something? I remember the times when my dad said, son, I'm so grateful for you. I'm proud of you and I love you. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. That did so much for me. Even this morning when I called my dad and I told him how much I loved him and thanked God for him. And my dad's one of my best friends. My dad said to me this morning, son, I'm so proud of you. Son, you have brought so much glory and so much happiness to your mom and I. I'm going to tell you something. You know what that did for me? That made me want to serve the Lord more. That made me want to continue to follow Jesus Christ. And men, be the affirming one in your home. Don't leave that just to the wives. I know they may be easier at that. They may be more, accustomed to that. But as men, show the affirmation. Show the love. Because I'm going to tell you this. Without love, anything we say and anything we do has no influence. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's begin in what we would call this the love chapter. One commentator said that it's the most beautiful chapter in all of the Bible. Well, I think all of God's Word is beautiful, but I understand what He is saying. 1 Corinthians 13, look at this, and I want you to hear me out as we close this morning. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, I want you to listen to me very closely. We read on in just a moment. Men without love. Now look, what is love? You know, what is that? The world has no idea what love really is. Love is sacrifice. Love is giving. Love is being more concerned about our children than we are ourselves. By the way, men, do you know the Bible commands us to love our wives as we love our own selves? Have you ever wondered why God put that there? Because we're good at loving ourselves. We know how to love ourselves. We know how to be concerned about ourselves. But men, we must be men who die to ourselves. Men who are more concerned about our wives and our children than we are about our own lives. And we show them love. Love is being there. Love is consistency. Love is forgiving. Love is caring for them. Love is leading them. And love is being loyal to the Lord and to them. But men, without love, your words mean nothing. Can I tell you, the Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels. I want you to hear me out. What is he saying there? Have you ever met someone that is very impressive? Boy, they impress, do they not, with their speaking? They impress with their tongues. They impress. Have you ever met someone that's very impressive, but you get to know them more, and their life does not match up with their words? It's just an impression. It's just a facade. Can I tell you something very closely? Men, if you live one way at church and one way at home, you are nothing but sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. That's all you are. Your words mean nothing. But when you live for Christ in the private secret place of your own heart and you live for the Lord at home, I heard a preacher say one time, he was a young preacher and he was thankful for his dad was a preacher. And he said what his dad preached in the pulpit, he practiced at home. Can I tell you, that was love. That's love. It's love to discipline. By the way, the Bible says, men, if we do not discipline our children, the Bible says that we hate our children. If we do not correct them, if we do not do it in love and care and compassion. My wife and I, we have not made all the right choices, but we have sought to be the parents God wants us to be. And we have sought that when we reprove our children, and we've had to do it many times, and we will continue to have to do it because we love them, but we always give affirmation when correction has been done. And after the correction is done, there is love, there is embracing. There is no, hey, in a few days, then we'll accept you again. It is none of that. I remember just when our children were very young and we would have to discipline them and spank them in the Bible way. Oh boy, I'll tell you, there was tears. There was sorrow. But then after that, that was cuddle time, you know? That was time to say, hey, I love you. God's working in your life. God has such a plan for you. I forgive you. And we're going to go on now. And we're going to be together. Look, that's what our children need. Men, they need the love. Let's read on here. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. Men, you can give your kids the greatest gifts. You can give them some of the finest things that this world has to offer. But if you don't give them love, it's nothing. We read on, verse 4, what is this love? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Men, I would encourage every man in this building here this morning to study 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because it is love. Now, by the way, what kind of love is this? Please hear me out. Children need to see this love in their fathers. Love is firm. Love is committed. Love takes hold and holds on. Love says, I am not going to lose my children to the devil. I'm not going to lose them. I'm not going to lose my wife. I'm going to stay firm. I'm going to hold to my family. And we understand that people make their own choices. And people have their own accountability to Christ. But the love holds on. The love is committed. Oh, love is tender. Men need to work on being more expressive in their love. Men need to work on their tenderness and their caring. And by the way, if you want to know what real love is, look at Jesus. Oh, the Bible says the children rush to Him. I love that thought. Oh, listen, the children, by the way, you know children are radars to who are loving and who are not. They know that. You know, can I just, please hear me out. Don't take this offensive. Children know when you're grumpy. They just know it. Children know. I remember growing up as a kid at Temple Baptist Church where I grew up. There were certain people I didn't like to see because they were just grumpy, mean old people, you know. I didn't want to be around them. I knew that. I could tell. I could see it. And children know. But when Jesus walked the face of the earth, the children rushed to Him. His care, His compassion, His love. They knew that He loved them. Oh, listen, men. Let us be men that love our families and love them. I was recently visiting a home of someone that visited our church recently. And I had been there just with the dad and the son. And we were talking and fellowshipping. And then the family come up from a game and they got there. And it was such a blessing to watch as the children got out. And you know what? He took his attention away from me, which I'm grateful. And hugged and loved and cared for his family. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a man who loves his family. Men, let us be that kind of man who is loving and is caring. By the way, it is impossible to love our children and to love our wives in our own ability. It is something that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. By the way, what is, you know, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the very first fruit. And the only way that you and I can love our families is through Jesus Christ. He enables us to love them, not as we think they should be loved, but we are to love our families as Jesus loves them. By the way, I've asked God, Lord, give me a love for your church and your people the same way that you love them. Because I cannot love people in my own strength. I'm not able to do it. In closing, I want to bring you this story. It's a fascinating story that came out of the 1989 earthquake, which almost flattened Armenia. In fact, this deadly tremor killed over 30,000 people in less than 4 minutes. But in the midst of all the confusion of the earthquake, after it was all done, a father rushed to where his son's school used to be. When he arrived there, he discovered that the building was flat, and he knew that his son was in there. Standing there looking at what was left of the school, the father remembered a promise that he had made to his son when he said, "No matter what, I'll always be there for you." That dad was standing there and tears began to fill his eyes, and it looked like a hopeless situation, but he could not take his mind off the promise that he had given to his son. Remembering that his son's classroom was in the back right corner of the building, the father rushed there and he started digging through the rubble. As he was digging, other grieving parents arrived, clutched their hearts saying, "My son, my daughter." They tried to pull him off of what was left of the school saying, "It's too late. They're dead. You can't help. Go home." Even a police officer and a firefighter told him that he should go home. To everyone who tried to stop him, he said this, "Are you going to help me now?" They did not answer him, and he continued digging for his son, stone by stone. In fact, he needed to know for himself, is his boy dead or is his boy alive? This man dug for 8 hours, then he dug for 12 hours. In 24 hours and 36 hours, this man dug. And finally, in the 38th hour, as he pulled back a boulder, he heard his son's voice. The boy cried out, and as he screamed his son's name, Armand. And the boy answered, Dad, Dad, it's me, Dad. Then the boy added these priceless words, Dad, I told the other kids not to worry. I told them that if you were alive, you'd save me and you would save them. I told them that you always keep your promises. Men, may God help us to be a man who will say, by God's grace, even if I did not have the example of my own father in my own home who led, I will lead. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. By God's grace, I'm going to be loyal. And it begins with our loyalty to Christ in our hearts, that we are loyal to Him, that we love Him and know Him. And then it is with love. Men, let us surround our home with love, giving affirmation, yes, discipline, but loving care and loving discipline, and knowing that our homes are led by men. Three words for every man here today. May God help us. Men, will you be one of those men? You say, Pastor, I've failed often. Well, so have I. But you know something? By God's grace, from this day forward, will you lead? Will you be loyal? And will you love? You say, Pastor, my children are already gone. They still need you to lead and love and be loyal to them. They still need you. May God help us today to be the men that He's called us to be. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I am convicted this morning as I preach this own message. Lord, my own children are sitting right here. They know me. My wife knows me like nobody else. Lord, help me to be the leader of my home, to be loyal and to be a man of love. Lord, do your work today in our hearts. And God, would you strengthen things this morning? Would you speak to us and help us as men? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder, would there be anyone here today that would say, Preacher, I do not know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't even know the Lord. Would you pray for me this morning? I'll not embarrass you or come to you or call you out. But if that is you this morning, can I just simply pray for you? Say, that's me, Preacher. Would you pray for me? I don't know where I'd go if I died today. Pray for me this morning. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. Now, I want to ask the men in our building today. How many men would say, Preacher, God spoke to me today. God convicted me today about areas of my life where I'm not maybe leading as I should, or being loyal as I should, or loving as I should. Would you pray for me this morning, Preacher? Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, hold it up high? That's me. Amen. Amen. All around. Amen. Let's stand together, would you please? I'd like to finish this prayer. We're not going to sing today. We're just going to have the piano to begin to play. But I'm going to ask the men, when I get done praying, I'm going to ask the men, would you join me here at this altar today? And would we recommit ourselves to the Lord? Men, it may be that some of us have to go home. We have to sit our families down and say, I'm sorry. I did not lead right. I've not been loyal. I've not been loving. But by God's grace, He's going to help me and I'm going to move forward. I've had to tell my children, my wife, many times and ask for their forgiveness. And I'm thankful for their forgiveness. May God help us today to rise up to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, bless this invitation. Lord, I pray for these men. I love these men. Lord, these are good men. They're faithful men. And I thank for the men of this church. But God, would you do a work in our heart to where we're going to be men of God. Men who know you and love you. Guide us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The piano begins to play. I want to ask every man, would you join me here at this altar this morning? I am very grateful for all the men of our church, and what a blessing it is. I'll tell you, as a church, it's great that we can pray together as men, and God's called us to lead, and God has given us the strength to lead. He enables us to do what we need to do. Now, as we dismiss in just a few moments, I'm going to ask all the fathers to make sure you go to the middle two doors, and my wife and I have some special candy for you. You can choose, all right? And now, dads, this is just for you, all right? And we want you to have this. And on your way out, you can choose this special gift. Be in prayer tonight. Of course, we will meet in here at 6 o'clock. Anybody that's not in Vacation Bible School, all three of us will meet in here tonight, all right? And we will have a good time. The Crown College group will be with us. No, we'll have a good group. I pray that you will come out. They'll be singing. In fact, Brother and Mrs. McPike are here leading this group, and Brother McPike is going to be preaching for us tonight, and I'm looking forward to that. And they're missionaries heading out on deputation, I think, just right after they get done with this summer with working with the Crown College group, and we'll look forward to that. So he'll be preaching. I want you to be here. And then, of course, Vacation Bible School, you be in prayer wherever you're working and laboring, and pray for this week that God will do a great work in our hearts in a very, very special way. Well, let's ask Brother McPike if you want to come and close this in a word of prayer. My wife and I would like to greet you on the way out today. And do you all need to be at the table, or there's anything, y'all can head to the table. That'd be fine. And so you can get to meet these young ladies, and we're thankful for their song. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. My wife and I will greet you on the way out.
Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for this day. We thank you for allowing us to be able to be in your house this morning, to be able to hear your word preached. And I pray that you would help us each to go out and to take what we've heard today and apply it to our lives. Lord, help us to be the Christians that you desire us to be, to take your word and to trust you and to follow you in whatever we are doing, whether we are fathers or mothers or friends, family members. Lord, help us to follow you, to do your will. We thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you bless the rest of this day, bless this VBS that's going to be going on this week, and pray that you would use it in a great way to touch the lives of many young people. We love you, Mr. Jesus, and that we pray. Amen.